Today on the podcast, we have the pleasure of being joined by Chinar, who is the CEO of Manant.ai. She is the founder of this incredible startup, and she has also led over 20 deep tech projects from inception to sales. She's served in roles like technical lead and computer vision engineer, and she is currently part of UC Berkeley's StyDeck cohort 15. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, super excited to have you on the podcast. I'm wondering, would you be able to tell everyone a little bit about how you got started, first off, with Manant? And maybe just to give everyone a little bit of context, tell us exactly what it is that Manant does.
Oh, yeah, sure. So how I started this everything, I'm coming from academia. I don't have any business background here. I started my career from applied mathematics and informatics because I'm really passionate about digits like maths, these like hard problems, solving hard problems. I did my, originally I'm from Armenia. I did my undergrad in applied mathematics and informatics in Armenia. Then I started doing my master's in information technologies, then moved to France doing my second master's at Grenoble University. It was in computer science and systems. Pretty like technical background. I have been doing like this computer science, applied mathematics things, but I was really interested in how we can use mathematics itself into real world applications, like in healthcare or surveillance or drones. These all like mission critical applications that need some automation, need some technology integration. That's why I ended up doing research in AI. Like the backbone of any AI is mathematics. A lot of like these hard calculations, formulas, and everything. And this was kind of the start of doing AI. It was already 6-7 years ago. And the first project that I started to do was computer vision for drones, like object detection for agricultural purposes. And then after my second master's, I was interested in doing PhD, and I started doing a PhD in machine learning integration into cardiovascular problems, identification and classification. And my PhD was supervised by Sosa Gayan from New York City University. Very cool project. I enjoyed that part. And while doing this all like research and then deployment to production environment, building AI solutions from A to Z, I was part of every like chain in this pipeline, and I was interested in, well, these all like this in this pipeline, there are a lot of like challenges that as an engineer I'm facing and how I can solve one of them and what I'm interested in the most. This was the question. And also like, I didn't want to work at any like company startup, but I had an experience. I have been working as an engineer researcher at different venture-backed startups and also research labs. So this was kind of the understanding, well, I want to do a startup. I want to build something new based on my experience. And yeah.
Okay, amazing. So what a fascinating product and tool. Something I'd love to ask you a little bit about is, how does Manant's approach, how is it different than traditional methods for trying to improve computer vision model performance?
Yeah. So it's not only about computer vision. I'll tell you like the story, right now, what kind of problem we are solving and who are our customers. Okay. It's not only about computer vision, but in general, like AI. And right now, we kind of switched to generative AI. So when I was working as an engineer after you test out your model, your AI, black box AI, and it has some 99% accuracy and it goes to production and actual end users are using it, you are having a lot of like feedback from customer end user side saying, well, the output is correct, the output is not correct. And how do you do that? They just send you a message on Slack or via email saying, well, I did this, the output is this, and I'm not happy. Yeah. And as an engineer, for me, that information is not enough at all. Like, what can I do with that email? Shall I reproduce the result? Can we have a call? Can we do some discussion? What was your expectation? Why this is not working and why you are not happy?
Right.
This kind of like back and forth and everything is happening in every application when AI is being used in finance and legal AI or surveillance everywhere. And while doing this research, like customer discovery to understand why people do care about this like back and forth, is this annoying? Is this painful? Like as an engineer, it was really painful for me, but to understand from business perspective what they are missing, what they cannot do because of this like back and forth messages, AI is not working well. And we saw there are mission critical applications, including finance, where we our focus is right now, where AI output is important and it should be very precise and accurate, because they financial analysts, when they use AI, they expect just an output and they just use that output for different purposes, like cash flow. What is the cash flow or credit score calculation? These numbers. And they do care about the output. And whenever something is wrong, they are coming back to AI teams with like complaints, like messages, it's not working well, blah, blah. And with this like problem definition, we were like, what if there is an intermediate layer between AI teams who are building AI solutions, mm-hmm. like chatbots, dashboards, or conversational AI, or like LLM-based solutions to different applications like finance, legal AI. And that layer will consolidate all kind of feedback that customers have on the output of that chatbot LLM. And it will synthesize that feedback into actionable recommendations, saying, well, this is the root cause that the customer is having this issue, and this is a list of actions that as an engineer, as an AI team, you need to take into account and fix it, make it better, and align it, most importantly, align it with these end users' feedback.
Okay.
So this is basically what we do. It's a framework between AI teams and generative AI end users to automate this whole pipeline and reduce time to resolution and also, most importantly, the output, like make the output aligned with their expectations.
Okay, that is so phenomenal. I was looking on your website. I saw, you know, you guys have improved model accuracy by 20%. I think this is a huge achievement. I'm wondering, what are some of the challenges that Manon AI has kind of faced when working towards this, and how did you overcome them?
I would say the challenges that we are facing are very typical to any startup at this stage, like seed, early stage, early adopters. You try to do your best to make them happy, your early adopters, because everything kind of depends on their feedback and everything. So one of the challenges as a framework tool where we have these integrations into different like channels where our customers are getting the feedback, like Slack or email, integration part is important, a challenge to understand how compatible is this solution with others, with our customers, like architecture pipeline they already have. And mm-hmm. with this, we try to have generalized solution as accurate as possible to be able to make that integration smoothly. Compatibility is one of the questions. And the other question is like, we are seeing like, we are able to derive signals, like actions using raw feedback that end users have. And the question is, how accurate are those actions? Like, what if we are also missing some action, which should be done by engineer to fix that issue? So these are two main challenges that we have been facing, and also like the market situation. Technology world is evolving, growing so fast. In order to be in the pace, you need to innovate. You need to be in this like
100%. Something that I've talked to a lot of businesses about, but it looks like you're addressing really well, is kind of operational cost reduction. This is obviously super important for every business. I'm wondering, how does Manon achieve, you know, I've heard that you've been able to achieve like a 32% reduction in operational costs for most of your clients. Like, how are you actually able to achieve that?
So in order to kind of give you some background of traditional methods that they are do, they are, they have, and after us, what is the, what is their like situation is, right now, one of the AI teams companies that we are working with is they are building these AI solutions for document processing to huge financial institutions like Moody's or these huge companies. And what they say on a daily basis, at the same time, they can get more than 800 feedback messages from their customers, from one customer, and they have like around 200 customers. So it's a huge amount of data that they are getting on a daily basis, and they have a team. Those people are working on analyzing manual work, just back and forth and this everything. So with this, as we are the intermediate layer that consumes these like huge amount of feedback data, and it consolidates and translates into actions like what you need to take care first because of impact score, because of this, we are able to reduce like huge amount of operational costs in terms of manual work, reducing time to resolution, also understanding, automatically diagnosing that data, deriving those signals and everything. That's the kind of core value proposition that we bring to the table compared the current manual workflow, like not automated, not well-designed workflow, and after us, what's happening with these companies.
Yeah, 100%. That's amazing. Something that I think you guys seem to have a really strong focus on is preventing model failures before they happen. I'm wondering if you have like maybe an example of how your technology has done this, maybe predicted or mitigated a failure, or how you would kind of envision this happening in the future.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And especially now when you have this black box, like foundation model or any AI solution, you expect it to be perfect. But what's happening, you test out it on top of some limited samples that you have at hand. We call it test set. And this test set is not representative enough of the outside world. We assume, as an engineer, we assume that the end user is going to have these like prompts, queries, and we test out against that. And once it goes to production, these end users can have everything, whatever they want. And with this, we are able to simulate, to create novel scenarios, novel queries, where this black box AI either is going to have false positive or false negative, either false positive or false negative, which in LLM world, like this foundation model world, we say hallucination, where you don't expect that output. So the core technology, the core IP that we have, it's able to simulate those like queries where the output will not be aligned with these end user expectations.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Obviously a phenomenal product, but what I would love to know is when you're kind of looking towards the future, looking at your roadmap, what are some of your future plans, maybe some future features or expansions, partnerships, all that kind of stuff that you're looking forward to that we can kind of expect or think about coming down the pipe?
Yeah. That's exciting. Right now we are expanding our team. We are fundraising also. So the one of the milestones that we have is to be this intermediate layer between AI teams and users, because this like end users feedback is very important. And as AI is being adapted into different verticals, we see that the end users are not technical people. They don't have any context about this black box AI, and their feedback matters a lot. Like, we need to have it as accurate as possible. So we want to be that layer where any feedback is being consolidated and being used in a more efficient way, resulting in accurate, better, safe, trustworthy. These all like buzzwords that we can see in the current market. So this is there, like be that intermediate layer. Right now, our focus is fintech because like the output of generative AI foundation models is important. The adaptation is being done so well. Like any financial institution, they want to use it, and because of that, there are a lot of companies that are building those solutions, and they need some frameworks to be able to do their work as better as possible. So fintech with this, we also will be like in legal AI, where the accuracy, feedback, customer domain expert, like end user feedback is important than legal AI. And in general, we want to be like all in one platform with this feedback consolidation and understanding it, like analyzing it in a more like efficient way, automating that whole pipeline. These are the milestones that we have. And also like revenue is important for any company onboarding new customers, and yeah, these are basically the main milestones that we have.
That's exciting. So much going on. Something that I would love to ask you about, just based off of what you're seeing kind of in the AI landscape right now, I'm wondering if there's like a common misconception or thing or something that you feel like a lot of people are getting wrong in the industry right now that that you could speak to.
Well, I feel like right now, especially while everyone knows about ChatGPT-4, ChatGPT in general, and these, like, there are a lot of like verticals applications where these people, they just say, well, we wanna use ChatGPT, but like the definition of using is very vague. What kind of business value you wanna solve? And for sure, there are a lot of rooms to integrate ChatGPT, but the real problem is not so obvious. That's why I feel like that part will be evolved a lot with this like ChatGPT improvement usage, and also people will see more and more where they can use it, why, what kind of business outcome they can get while using this ChatGPT. This is something is happening, and also what I started this everything doing AI, being an AI researcher like 7-8 years ago. And it was just classical AI, machine learning, computer vision, CNNs, like this, everything. But right now, it changes a lot. Like right now, there is no CNN. Like there is no convolutional neural network to use it. Right now, we have these huge foundation models, transformers, vision transformers and everything. And that adaptation is going really well, and that direction is taking off as well.
That's super, super cool. Yeah, it's so fascinating, so much going on right now. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, sharing what you guys are doing, sharing your progress. As we wrap up the show, I'm wondering if there's one piece of advice you feel like you could give to people that are interested in joining perhaps the field of AI, that are interested in, you know, maybe implementing some of these things into their organizations, you know, trying to figure out what's going on here. What's a piece of advice you feel like you could give?
That's a good question. Maybe this question I can answer this way. If I started doing AI right now, like from zero, what I would do? That's the kind of question. What would be the best start of doing AI is, I think the most important thing is right now is understanding the real business problem, why I need AI and what I want to solve with that AI. What is the problem itself? That will help, because there are a lot of like solutions right now available, like through APIs. You don't have to invent something new. You can just use this ChatGPT-4 or other like solutions, existing solutions. That's why first question, very, very first question is like, what kind of problem I want to solve and where, which direction? In healthcare, finance, legal, or where? Where is that problem? And with AI, what I can accomplish. So that's something that I would advise to to have, to know. And then after that, it's easy. Like, just ask ChatGPT how to solve that problem. It will help you.
100%. Okay, amazing advice. Thank you so much for coming on. To the listener, if you're interested in learning more about Manaut.ai, I'm going to leave the link to that in the show notes so you can go find that. Phenomenal piece of technology. Chinar, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And sharing all of your insights. To the listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast. Make sure to rate us wherever you get your podcasts and have a fantastic rest of your day.